The federal government passed long-awaited reforms to environmental protections on Friday. In the end, the deal was done with the Greens instead of the Coalition. Susan McDonald is the Shadow Minister for Resources and joins me now. Susan McDonald, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Sally. Great to talk to you.
The Coalition was in meetings last week with the Environment Minister to try to strike a deal with the government on these reforms. What went wrong?
Well, we were trying to achieve results that would mean that there was greater economic outcomes as well as environmental outcomes. This is important to Australia. And what we've seen instead is legislation that is layering additional legislation, additional bureaucrats. There's an expression, Sally, you'd know, that to a man with a hammer, the whole world looks like a nail. And what we've ended up with a whole lot more nails, not just in the coffin of economic activity in Australia, but also for good, practical environmental outcomes that ensure we have food security, defence security, amongst other activities that are important to Australia and Australians.
How many Coalition front benches were in talks with Murray Watt last week?
Oh, well, absolutely. I know I had input as the Shadow Resources Minister, and I'm uncertain as to whether Minister Madeleine King, as my counterpart, was involved in those discussions. That is absolutely important because when government makes decisions in silos, we get outcomes that are not well considered. And certainly I was involved in that because I wanted to ensure that the Fraser Institute, which is a worldwide measurement of resource attractiveness and investment attractiveness around the jurisdictions, Australia continues to plummet. And given the importance of the resources sector to Australian prosperity and our ability to pay for things like Medicare and the PBS and NDIS, that it was important that we were getting that balance right.
The reason that I ask how many shadow front benches is there's been some criticism from the government that it wasn't a one-stop shop. They had multiple people from the Coalition negotiating, whereas they were able to negotiate more effectively with the Greens. Was there mixed messaging or too many cooks on the side of the Coalition?
I can guarantee you there was no mixed messaging. We had a very short but important list of changes that we believe needed to be made to ensure that this legislation was not about just making it a law fair and a law feast rather than about actually improving the straight line for mining companies, for farming families, for environmental groups to be able to simply and easily navigate our environmental laws to get better outcomes.
The government says industry now has more certain timelines on developments, and we've heard commentary from the business community that it's improvement on the previous set of regulations and laws. What exactly in this legislation do you think is a handbrake on investment?
I think the biggest issue is the duplication of activities. So we have EPAs and environmental approvals at state level. And once again, we're having additional federal duplication and oversight. So it takes on average 16 years for a mining project to go from discovery of ore through to production.
But I'm talking about now, the new regime.
Thank you, Sally, for bringing me back to that. The point that I'm trying to make, which is not only did you have to move through the state regime and then move to a federal approval process, we have just increased the federal approval process by divulging decision-making to a new authority. We're not sure when that will stand up. But this new Environmental Protection Agency, which will take in its own turn additional time to make decisions. Now, investment around the world is highly competitive, and Australia needs to make sure that we are continue to mine and extract gas to the world's highest standard. Because if we don't, it will continue to happen in other jurisdictions and Australians miss out. Remember that mining, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is an important point, Sarah. Remember that mining, so for Queensland alone, is 0.5% of our land activities, 0.5% of the state. And yet this legislation, it specifically calls out excluding coal and gas, two of our biggest income earners. This is very clearly a message to investors that it's going to get harder.
Senator, and my guest this morning is Senator Susan MacDonald, Shadow Minister for Resources and Northern Australia. Yesterday, the Coalition flagged changes to its immigration policy, proposing a citizenship-style test on Australian values for new visa holders. Is there any evidence that migrants are posing a threat to the community because they lack particular values?
Oh, it's so interesting you asked me that. As I came through two airports to get to Canberra for estimates this week, I had exactly this topic raised with me by security personnel and by other workers in the airports saying that they felt that migration was out of control in this country. One, a Muslim man, raised exactly that he said, we are not getting this right. So we are all the product of our lived experiences, and I can tell you that Australians right across the country are raising this issue about how we have the right numbers of people coming to Australia to ensure, and once again I go back to government making decisions in silos, we need to get this right across housing, across
education. But the question is there any evidence? Is there any evidence that migrants pose a threat to the community because they lack any particular values?
Oh, I don't think that that was what was being proposed. I think that the proposal is that one of the things that should be considered when we assess who is right to come to this country will be values. Do they share our love of family, of our great country, of our environment, which is where we started talking, Sally, about all of those different things that make us Australian and why people seek to come here, as well as, of course, importantly, their skill sets. Are they willing to work in the places that Australia has great need and great demand? So I don't think it's unreasonable to open up that discussion, and I think you'll find most Australians think that's a good idea.
Do you believe that a values test would accurately identify anyone who might pose a risk to community cohesion? What's to stop someone from telling us what we want to hear?
I think I'm going to direct you back to the Shadow Minister, Jonathan Dunham, to have a better discussion on this. But I can tell you that there are a series of tests that are completely reasonable. One will be values, one will be whether your proficiency in English, one will be your understanding of what a democracy means and a rule of law. There will be a range of things that I think should be considered in this discussion, and certainly your skill sets. And for me, coming from regional Australia, where we have massive demand for skilled people, that is something that we are very focused on, is how do we bring people who want to build Australia, who want to join us in being a positive, successful nation. And, you know, I understand that you're trying to draw out this issue of values, but I think this is a nationwide discussion that Australians want to have, and shutting it down isn't in anyone's interest.
Senator, as a senator from Queensland, does the rise of One Nation in the polls concern you, particularly in Queensland where Pauline Hanson has a strong following among some?
Look, we've just had a by-election in Queensland, the Hinchinbrook by-election, and it was a fascinating example. Labor received an 8% primary vote. The LNP in Queensland won that seat. The One Nation was the only party that had elected to preference us, but interestingly, it was preferences from the Greens and Labor that ensured that we were successful on the night. Australians are smart with how they operate. They know how they want to vote. They know how to balance these decisions. And so I think One Nation's input into democracy and the things we're talking about is great. It means that there's a whole lot of Australians who are thinking about democracy and how they want to vote. I think, though, at the end of the day, we have to think about who is going to form government, who is going to be consistent and reliable, and think about those whole-of-government decisions. And to that, I would point to a party of government.
Senator, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Always terrific to talk to you. Thank you.